From the heart of the city, where the beat meets the rhythm of your day, it's Shauna and Lala.
What's up? You're listening to Shauna and Lala. Check us out at shaunaandlala.com on all social media platforms at Shauna and Lala. You can follow me on Instagram at The Real Shauna May.
And you can follow me at Bella_Lala125.
What a crazy weekend I had. I don't know about you, but my weekend was absolutely insane.
Really? Why?
Yeah, I worked Saturday all day till like 8 o'clock at night. Then Sunday, I had to volunteer for the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Aww.
And I went to ShopRite in Liberty, which is like a little over an hour from my house.
Oh,
it was
yeah,
a nice
far.
ShopRite.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah? Yeah, it was really well-stocked. And I even told the manager, I'm like, this place is really well-stocked. And she's like, yeah, you know, we try to keep it up that way. And she said it's the only store really in Liberty.
Yeah, that's out there, you know. Thank God they have a ShopRite.
I know. And afterwards, we went and saw a good family friend who's in a nursing home right now. And so when we were leaving, visiting, we go to the elevator, and there's a little old lady, like, in the wheelchair, and she's waiting for the elevator. So my mom says, are you going down? And the lady looks at my mom and goes, one. So mom's like, okay. So we're waiting for the elevator. Now, three other people, you know, elderly people in wheelchairs are waiting. So the one lady gets in the elevator. The other two, you know, they're walking like little, like, I don't know, snails. And I'm like, oh my God, the door is going to shut on them. Sure enough, the door shuts on them. My mom's like grabbing the door. I'm like trying to get in to like hold the open door button. I couldn't get in. They wouldn't let me in. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, we were next in line. And my mom's like, just let them go. And I'm like, oh my God.
How many wheelchairs?
There was three wheelchairs. God. And a person with, like, a walker. So, all elderly, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
80s and 90s.
That's dreadful.
Oh, my gosh. So, they fit in the elevator. Two wheelchairs and the lady with the
walker
goes into the elevator. Well, they come back up. And my mom's like, what happened? And my mom goes, I'm going to send you down again. So, she sends them down again. Now, we're still waiting. And there's an old man now, and he's like, what's the problem? Why are you still waiting? And my mom's like, you know, the elevator is just really slow. And he's like, well, we got to get on there. He's like, I got to get down to the first floor.
Oh, my God. It must have been lunchtime or something.
Lunchtime or bingo or bingo. Something. So he's like, Jesus, this is ridiculous. So they come up again. And my mom's like, What is the problem? Like,
they probably couldn't get out of the elevator.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. They couldn't get out of the elevator quick enough. So at this point now, there's only one lady stuck still in the elevator. So I get in. I hold the open button. The guy, he like wheels himself in and he's pushing the old lady like back into like the back of the elevator.
Get in. Let's go.
And he's like, I can't fit. He's like, you need to move. And she wasn't understanding. So he's pushing her. I'm in, like, squeezed in the side, holding the open button for... And then some other lady comes with a walker. And she's like, can I fit in? And I'm like, I don't know. So she tries to fit in. She's like, nope, not gonna happen. So she's like, I'll wait. And mom goes, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So, oh my God. It was just...
Yeah. It's time for the stairs. Let's go. No old people on them.
So I said to my mom, I'm like, are we being punked right now? And I didn't even see stairs. I would have taken the stairs.
Yeah.
I didn't see any. She's like, I've never seen anything like this. I'm like, oh my God. It was just, it was really, really funny.
That was like a comedy show, like a skit from a comedy show right there.
Yeah.
They just keep coming up. They couldn't get out the door fast enough. It's like, well, guess we're going up again.
Yeah. And my mom said to like the old man, my mom goes, is the other elevator broken? Like, is it, because it wasn't opening.
Yeah.
And he's like, something's always broken here. I was like, oh my God.
Cranky old people. Gotta love them.
I just gotta get down to the first floor. I don't know what was on the first floor, but...
Yep. It's either snack time, or you said bingo, or movie day, you know. It's
something.
Oh, jeez. I don't want to get old.
You don't want to get old?
No. No, no, no. I look at old people, and I get so depressed. I see, like, when I see old couples or old, like, it's depressing. I'm like, I'm gonna be that one day. And it really depresses me, because then they must know the end is near. The end is near. And you can't move the way you want to move. You're, you know, you see them in wheelchairs. You're with walkers.
Yeah.
That has to be depressing. I'm sorry.
It's got to be. But the way our friend is looking at it is, she's like, I love it here. And I'm like, you do? She's like, yeah. She's like, I absolutely love it. She's like, you know, I have my own little private room. She has to share a bathroom. But she's waited on hand and foot.
Wow. Huh? At least she's being treated good, so that's all that matters.
So switching gears back to the circle of life, the beginning of life is when you are a baby, and we have our baby segment coming up. So excited. I just love seeing all the new, like, things that are out for babies and mothers.
Yeah, it's these moms today, even when I had Julina, the technology coming out, well, it's so helpful. The amount of new baby products that they have that can help you in so many different ways. You know, it's just, it's crazy. It really is. And I'm happy about it, because moms need all the help they can get.
Oh, yeah. And today we're talking to the founder of Annabella. Masha is her name. Now, this is a totally different type of breast pump, right, Lala?
Yes. I mean, I looked it over. I was testing it out on my... I'm not breastfeeding anymore, but on my arm. And I'm like, holy, you know, this is amazing. It's so different. And, you know, Masha's going to explain it a little bit better, but it is definitely different.
Thank you. It's good to hear. How'd you like it? What did you think about it?
First of all, the packaging. I love the packaging. That, you know, that caught my eye. It just seems so, you know, chic. And the breast pump is beautiful. I know that's a weird thing to call a breast pump, but it's beautiful. It's like a blush pink. And I put it on my arm, like the fat part of my arm, just to test it out. I was like, all right, let's just see. And you can definitely feel the different, I don't want to, maybe it's vibration, but the way that it does suction is definitely different than my, let's say, my Medela pumps or my other pumps, where it would just be like a strong pull. This was kind of like going in different directions, it felt like. And I think that is absolutely amazing.
Oh, that's good to hear. So we did a good job. That's what you were saying.
Yes, yes.
You know, actually, that design and the name of the pump, it's named after my daughter. Her name is also Annabella. And she actually helped choose the coloring and the design. We worked a lot about, you know, finding the balance between making a pump that it's more like more innovation and really, really different, and still... when you look at this pump, you can still say that it is a breast pump. It's still familiar, because, you know, moms, when they become moms and they have a baby, then they don't have a time to figure out a new technology. So we wanted to make it as comfortable as possible. And yeah, the motion that you just described, it's the wave-like motion of the tongue. That what was basically missing from my personal breast pump. That's what I wanted for myself.
Yes. I saw that even the way that the, I don't want to call it the wrong thing, like the plastic part that goes on, it looks like a tongue. Like it looks, you know, am I correct in that? Like how it's molded? I love that.
Yeah. definitely. When I gave birth at first and I used the pump for the first time, I remember thinking that I could have just as easily taken my vacuum cleaner, put it on myself, turn it on and off and get the same effect. Yes. And so I spent a lot of time, you know, Googling just that, breast pump like a baby, breast pump with a tongue, what is wrong with breast pumps today, you know, stuff like that. So yeah, that was what we were aiming for.
I love it.
Is that the reason you started Annabella?
Oh, definitely. I mean, before I gave birth, you know, I'm one of those weird people that just scroll Wikipedia for fun. And everything around child development, development and breastfeeding, and, you know, it's fascinating. And so I came really, really prepared for everything relating to breastfeeding. You know, thinking about it, with all the knowledge and all the preparation, I still struggled so much. And when I found out that, it's just the norm. You know, I went to the lactation consultant and the hospital, and I asked her, what should I do? It feels uncomfortable. It's inefficient. Something is not working there. And so she gave me another breast pump, and she told me, well, you know, you can play with the settings until it feels a bit like your daughter is nursing. And I'm still waiting for that to happen. I mean, that's so unrealistic.
Yes.
And so because I already read about everything, you know, lactation and how it kind of feels like magic. I mean, I read that women actually can change their breast milk in accordance to the baby's health condition when yes. they're breastfeeding. And so it's more like magic than science. And so understanding all of that and understanding how important all the structure of the baby's mouth, not only the pull and the suction and the suction strength. For me, it was just so obvious that I just couldn't understand why a breast pump like that doesn't exist. I mean, now I know it's really, really humbling to try to replicate nature. I mean, it was super complicated,
yes.
but it's still logical. And me as Masha, as a very, very young person that is very attached to all her consumer devices. I mean, and they're here to make my life better. I'm really emotionally attached to my robot vacuum cleaner and mop and my dishwasher and my phone and my car. And they're here to make my life better and easier. And here I have this device that is supposedly, everybody says that it's my way to give my baby the healthiest thing there is, that is breast milk. And it supposedly it enables me to be a bit more independent. And yeah. it doesn't do the job. It's awkward. It's sometimes even painful. It's inefficient. And I absolutely hate it. And I'm stuck with it. There is no other choice.
Right.
And I'm one of millions of moms that are stuck with their pump. And so I couldn't just let this go. It became an obsession. I mean, I went up to my husband and I told him that if he wants me to continue breastfeeding, let's order a 3D printer. Let's find. I was that naive. I thought a 3D printer would be enough to create this thing.
Wow.
Find an engineer and let's do that. And it was really, really challenging. I mean, the first conversation we had was when Annabella was 2 weeks old. She's 7 now. So yeah, replicating nature is really, really, it's the most humbling experience I've ever experienced. But yeah, I just couldn't let this go.
That's amazing.
I can say that it was like, it's a calling.
You knew it was missing. You knew what you were missing. And it's a calling to help other moms out there, because I know as I was a breastfeeding mom, I have 2 kids and I could never pump. Like, I would try and it hurt me, or I didn't get enough, like nothing would come out. I would get an ounce for sitting there for 30 minutes and it was so, like, I felt so defeated, you know, so depressed. And that's a big problem out there. I hear so many moms are like, I cannot produce enough milk, you know, in the pump. So it's definitely a calling to help moms out there. You know, I wish that I was still breastfeeding, because I would definitely try it out, you know, but I wish I had that a year ago.
How is it different though?
And, you know,
I'm saying like from a pump to the baby, like what is the difference? Isn't the amount that comes out the same?
The babies are able to, like she was saying, the motion of their mouth, everything, they're able to, for me anyway, to get more from me than my pump did, you know? Right, Masha? Am I correct in that?
Well, yeah. You know, babies, when a baby latches on the breast, it does, there are two motions that are happening at once. One is the pulling on the nipple, which is the suction that every other pump has. And then you have the wave-like motion of the tongue, which does the nipple compression. And, you know, another thing, beside the fact that it actually sends a signal to the brain that it is time to produce and release milk naturally from the breast, which essentially means alleviating the hormones that are prolactin and oxytocin, both for, you know, compressing those mammary glands to just release the milk. You know, you don't have to pull on the nipple to extract the milk. The body just releases it naturally. But the other thing that a baby does, it actually adjusts the, you know, compression on the nipple in order to get more milk out. And with a breast pump, you have to choose the correct size. You have the breast shield, you have the opening, where you just align the nipple, and you have to know what your size is, and it actually what can make or break your entire breast pumping journey. I mean, even with our pump, if you have the tongue, you have the wave-like motion, it feels more pleasant. Our moms actually say that it feels like breastfeeding, but we also have a knob on the pump that you can actually rotate and adjust the opening of the breast shield, making it larger or smaller depending wow. on what feels more comfortable to you. Because, you know, even if you do know your size at first and you buy all those different accessories and you have like inserts that make the opening smaller, or you're buying a bigger breast shield, it's always, you know, a lot of trial and error, and it's exhausting.
Yes.
And here you just like do a really, really small motion one-handed. You don't have to use a lot of force, and you just rotate it towards what feels natural to you. And it can change from day to day. It can change from side to side. And that was really, really important. So if we talk about differences between Annabella and other breast pumps, you have the wave-like motion of the tongue that creates the pleasant breast pumping experience and the efficient experience, obviously. And you also have the adjustable size.
That's that dial on the side, right? On the pump?
Yeah.
Yes. I was like, oh, yeah. this is, that's crazy that you put all that together into this pump. You know, you thought of everything, everything.
Well, it's not only me, you know, we talked to a lot of moms. We had a huge community, online community, and everybody around us. I mean, everybody wanted to help. As I said, it's just something that needed to happen. I mean, we have so many people. When we're talking about breast pump, no matter who I'm talking to, no matter who's in front of me, everybody understand that it's challenging. Breastfeeding is challenging, no matter how natural that would be. Childcare is challenging. And yep. So naturally you want to help, you want to make it better. And so we were very, very attentive to everything moms are asking and saying and what they need. And so, yeah, adjustable size and pleasant experience, efficient experience are the top three priorities.
Yes, 100%. Anything that can make, you know, being a mom easier and pleasant and comfortable, because we need that. It's hard. It's so hard.
Oh, definitely.
So where can our listeners buy the Annabella pump?
Well, you can order Annabella on our website at annabella-pump.com.
And we will post a link where to purchase it on our social media pages.
I also took a video of it to show our listeners and viewers out there exactly what it looks like, what it does. And my next step is my friend is breastfeeding, so I'm going to have her test it out. And so we can really see it in action. And, you know, hopefully, I know she's going to love it because it is... I've never seen anything like this. Like, Shauna doesn't understand, right? Shauna, the other day when I was trying it out, I was like, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah, look. And I was like, what's so exciting?
You could just tell the difference just looking at it. Like, I saw like the mold where the tongue was and I felt it. I'm like, I needed this. I definitely needed this when I was breastfeeding my daughter. And I know this is...
I can only relate.
Yep. So this is amazing. And thank you. I mean, thank you and your team and for doing this for women and moms out there, because it was definitely needed.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we're not stopping there. We have more development and we're looking to perfecting the breast pump. There are a lot of other things that we want to do to make it even better than it is right now. It's only the first model.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. So where do you see Annabella in the next 5 years?
Honestly, everywhere. Absolutely everywhere.
Good.
I mean, my dream is to just help moms and the most challenging part of their life, which is the starting point, the breastfeeding, the taking care of a newborn, everything like that. And so our vision for the company is just to create products that are here to make moms' lives better. And so wherever there is a breastfeeding mom, we want to be there. And, you know, one of the things that we did in order to ensure that this will happen is to create a customer support team where there's lactation consultants and pumping specialists that are here to help.
Wow. Through you guys, you said? Through Annabella?
Wow. Yeah, through the website, yeah. Because, you know, as I said, breast pumping and breastfeeding and childcare, the fact that it is natural does not make it easy. And you still have to have support. And I actually absolutely believe that it is your right to demand the support.
Yes.
And so supporting you not only in breastfeeding, but also in using a breast pump, it's really, really important because it's really not intuitive.
Yeah, it's not. That I did not know that is good for our listeners to know too, that they can get the help they need through Annabella. You know, because that's a lot of people are always like, where do I go? Who do I call? You know, they call the hospitals. The hospitals aren't as, you know, helpful. Even the lactation consultants sometimes are so overwhelmed at the hospitals that it's hard. You know, I know I had that issue too. So that is truly amazing, Masha. And I cannot wait to share this with more people. I have a lot of pregnant friends right now. And again, our listeners, if you guys are interested in purchasing this breast pump or checking out Masha's website, it's annabella-pump.com.
And we'll post the link on our website and our social media as well. Thank you so much, Masha, for calling in today. We definitely got some great information for our listeners. And everyone, check out the Annabella breast pump.
Thank you. It was fun.
Thanks, Masha. Oh, my God. You know me and the moms group. Have you been on there and seen what was going on about the state testing?
I did.
Oh, I was, you know me. So the backstory is a mom came on and said, can someone explain why their children would want to or should opt out of state testing? So my son recently asked me that. He's in fifth grade. They had state testing last week or the week before. He was begging me, Mom, I don't want to do it, please. My teacher said we don't have to if we don't want to. I was like, why are you saying this? He goes, well, because all my friends are able to opt out of the test. And I was like, absolutely not. He's like, why? That's so mean. All my friends are, they're not taking it. And I'm like, nope, you're taking it. It's not happening. You're going to take the test. And he was crying. He was really upset. My husband backed me. My husband's like, absolutely not. No, you're going to do it. We don't need perfection. We don't need like a 100 on it. But you need to learn how to take a test. And, you know, basically, you can't take the easy way out, right?
Yeah.
So that was our conversation. So when I saw this post, I was like, oh, my God, you know, this must be the new thing now. Everyone's opting out.
Well, it is.
It is a new thing?
Basically, when my niece was in high school, her friends were opting out. And my brother was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, we didn't have that choice. He said, you're smart enough to take the test. He said, and you're taking it.
It's true. I know it sucks. It definitely does. Who likes taking tests? Nobody, right? Yeah. I hated it. I hated Regents Week and But we did it. I did it. You did it. You know.
We had to. We had no choice.
Yeah, we had no choice. And it sucked, but you learn because life is not easy. So this mom asked this simple question, like, why? And it became this huge, of course, controversial issue on the mom's group. Most people, unfortunately, were saying that you should opt your kids out.
Why?
Because it's unneeded stress and anxiety for a test that doesn't matter. Okay, I get
it. What are you going to do in the real world?
Exactly. The real world is not all butterflies and roses. And this is what the generation we're raising is like. Anything that's too stressful or too gives you anxiety, don't do it. Why? I don't want my kid to have unneeded stress and anxiety. And a test is going to kind of give you that. But he needs to be prepared. He's going into middle school next year. You know, this lady, I forget how old the kid was, but there's college, there's high school, there's jobs that need tests being taken, right?
Yeah.
There's so much in life that you have to prepare for and stress about and have anxiety about, and you have to do it. You can't just be like, no, I don't feel like it. I don't want to be stressed out, so I'm not going to take that, you know?
Yeah, can you imagine saying to your boss, that task is stressful. I'm not going to do it.
And that's what they do. I've heard a lot of these employers saying that their workers are like, not even about tests, but just, like you said, a task, or, hey, I need you to come in for that holiday weekend, and they're like, I'm going to go out with my friends. I don't want to. But back in the day, you know, us as employees, we'd be like, we'd hate it, but we wouldn't talk back and say no, you know what I mean? And they're saying these kids now are just being taught that as soon as something feels uncomfortable, as soon as something's stressful, as soon as something's going to give you anxiety, you can say no and not do it.
Oh, bullshit. Right?
It's like everyone gets a trophy type crap. No one's working for anything. And these moms, they were getting really nasty on there. There was one lady who was like me and was said, no, like, my kids are going to take it. Oh, all she wrote was, tell your son that his friends are lazy, because the friends were telling him to opt out, like my son's friends were.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I saw that.
You saw that, right? These moms, these Karens, I'm going to call them Karens because they must feel some sort of guilt because it insulted them. It wasn't even about their kids, and they took it personal. So many moms were like, how dare you call them lazy? What kind of a person are you? There's kids with anxiety. There's kids with this. There's kids with that. That's why you can't judge and call them, like,
yes. Listen. Yes, we can.
Yeah.
We can call them lazy. We can call them entitled, because that's what they are, is entitled children. Here we go again with the gentle parenting.
Yep.
And, you know, I was not the smartest kid in school, still not book smart. I was in, like, special ed reading classes, and I struggled through school. But guess what? My mom pushed me through.
Yeah.
With tutoring, extra help. You know, I got, like, extra time to take my tests, you know, to not stress me out, even though it did anyway. But I still took them, and I turned out fine.
Yeah.
You know, the real world, once you graduate high school, like, you know, it's a whole new world. And you can't just say, I don't feel like doing that today, or I don't feel like doing this task. Like I said earlier, your boss is going to be like, you're fired. We don't need you then.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm very concerned. We've said it in multiple episodes. Very concerned for this future generation. They are very entitled. They act like who they are, and that they make the decisions. But yeah, at the end of the day, you make a decision. You make your own decisions for your life. I get that. But there's also, like, again, life's not easy. It's hard. And if you're not prepared now, slowly being prepared now in school for the hardships you're going to have in life, you're going to fail. And you're just not going to be an upstanding citizen. You're not going to be contributing to society if you can't deal with certain things. And we're creating these little bubbles, like these fragile little bubbles of kids that you can't say anything to them. You can't tell them what to do. You can't, you know, put them in a tough situation because they can't handle it.
Yeah, they don't know what to do.
No.
You know, I'm sure some colleges still have those cry closets.
There's probably lots of safe spaces everywhere.
Is that what they're called?
I don't know what they're called, but I believe in things needing to change generation from generation, and they do. Every generation since, you know, before our grandparents has gotten easier, lighter, gentler, whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah.
But we can't go so far the opposite way where it's kind of going to hurt them and hinder them as they get older in the real world. You need to have them a little bit tough. We don't have to be as tough as our parents or our grandparents were, but there has to be some sort of, no, this is what you, like I said to my son, it's tough, it's stressful, I get it, babe, but we don't want perfection from you. We're not trying to make you give us 100% on that, or you don't have to stress about the grade. As long as we see that you tried and you sat there and you took it and you learned how to deal with that, we will be proud of you.
Yeah.
And that's what parents should be doing right now. Some parents are saying, well, it doesn't even count. These tests are just to grade the teacher. All right, that's fine. Well, let them take the test. Let them learn how to take a test.
Yeah, what if you have a sucky teacher?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm not doing it for the grade. I'm doing it for the skill. I want him to learn how to work under pressure, to sit there, to take a test.
Yeah.
And because that's life. And if you saw how many, I mean, I know you saw some of it, Shauna, how many moms were like, no, I don't let my kids do it. I opt them out because I don't want them stressed. It's just sad to me. And you're not really helping your kid. You are hindering them, right? Is that the correct word for that? You're not letting them learn how to handle tough situations and stressful situations.
They're gonna need medication when they get older,
and that's the thing. I think there's been a huge raise in anxiety in children, learning disabilities, attention disorders, right?
Oh, yeah. Especially since COVID.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And these parents, I see all these parents saying, oh, my 10-year-old is on anxiety medicines. My 6-year-old is on ADD, like all this stuff. And it's, I don't know. I don't agree with it. And they should be able to take a test. They should be able to sit in a tough situation and then... boom, it's over. You show them, look, you did it. It's hard. You might not have scored great, but you did it. You sat there and you did it. This is life. It's it's not easy.
So did Gio take the test?
And yeah, Gio took
the
test.
He lived through it?
He lived through it, and he said it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It was just a little boring sitting there. I said, yeah, exactly. That's fine, Gio. It is boring. It is stressful. It is, you know, but you did it. You're fine, right? You learned the skills needed to use your brain and to take a test. And even if you don't get 100, you learn those skills that you're going to need to do through middle school next year. You're going to do through high school. And in college, definitely. I don't think you can opt out in college. You know, that's part of getting a degree, right? Taking these tests. My friend just got a job to be a psychologist. At 37 years old, she had to take a huge test. To get her license. My husband, as a cop, even though he's a cop and he already has been a cop, in order to be chief and to move up in the ladder, you have to take a big test. So it's out there for multiple jobs. You have to take tests. You have to learn. You have to be able to handle pressure and stress. So I don't agree with opting your kid out. I really don't. Even if they have learning disabilities, they said there's different ways that they can have them take the test or give them extra time, right?
Yeah, there is. When I was in high school, I was able to go to the library, you know, because I got distracted very easily. A bird would fly by and I'd be like, ooh, look at the bird, you know. So I got to go to the library. I got extra time. I'm trying to think what else I got, like extra. The school paid for a tutor for me because I was like falling behind, and I made it through. There's no reason these kids today can't get the extra help that they need. Even staying after with a teacher. I did that for years. I mean, it sucked. But I did it.
Yeah. Like you said, there's options out there.
I also think parents don't want to be bothered.
No, they probably don't. They don't want to be bothered. And they do whatever their kid wants. Parents nowadays, it's like they're their friends. They're not the parents. And they, whatever the kid wants, I don't want to do that. Okay. I'm stressed out. Oh, what can I do to make you better? I'm not saying don't be there for your kid. I'm one who I'm very supportive of my children and their emotional well-being. I'm very affectionate. I'm very loving. I'm very, like I said, supportive of them. But to a certain extent, you have to be able... I didn't yell at him. I sat with him and explained to him why. You can be supportive of their emotions and their stress factors while still kind of guiding them in that direction. Like, hey, I totally understand how you feel. I've been there. I get it. But let's do this. You know, you got to try. That's what parents should be doing instead of automatically putting them on that, you know, hovering over them. Oh, my God. Okay. You don't like this. So let's stop. Let's cut it out. Let's not let you do that anymore. Oh, my God. You can't do that for their whole life. You're just hurting your child's future.
Those are the kids that are going to be in their mommy's house at 50 years old.
Yeah. Or they can't hold a job. They're going to need to own their own business because they're not going to be able to have a boss or anyone telling them what to do because it's too stressful. It's too hard. Or I don't want to do that.
They might not even be able to hold their own business hold their own position.
Yeah.
Because even when you own a business, we both know it's not all, you know, easy peasy. There's things that go wrong. There's stressor.
Yeah.
You know stressors. What I'm trying to say.
Yep.
Stressors.
Of course. Oh, I know that. So they probably couldn't do that either. I know we sound like old people. We sound like, I always feel like I sound like our parents probably sound and our grandparents probably sounded about the new generation. But I think we've just hit a point where it's kind of like a point of no return. We've gone too far, you know? We had to get to a certain point of it, but now it's going overboard and we need to kind of pull back the reins here with parenting and take control again, because it's like I said, it's going to be a problem later on in life. It really is. Everyone gets a trophy type children. No one could tell me what to do. I'm not doing that because it makes me stressed out. I don't know whoever had a life that's not stressful, because life is freaking stressful. you know. So prepare them for that now, slowly.
It's mind-boggling to me that parents are this way. It drives me insane. Like, I see things that, you know, my friends post on Facebook, and, you know, I'm sure you see things, and you're just like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking?
I'm not a perfect parent at all. But yes, I have those moments a lot where I'm just seeing, like, being a mom is, it's a job, and you're raising a future adult. So it can't all be fun and games. It can't all be I'm your best friend and you run the show. You still have to be a parent.
Yeah, you need to.
You have to.
You have to. And you have to discipline them.
Disciplining. Yeah. Preparing them. Guiding them in the right direction. Not their direction. Not the direction that they want to go. I see a lot of that on there. Like, oh, well, my fourth grader didn't want to do that. And so I said, okay. That's the kind of parenting nowadays. It's like letting the child direct their life. And yes, in some ways, you should allow them freedom to make their decisions and to let their emotions out and tell you how they feel. That is great. I believe in that 100%. But you still, as a parent, have to guide them. Okay, understand how you feel. I get it. I'm here for you. But yeah, we can't go in that direction. We have to go in this direction because this is going to help you later on. And we're severely lacking that.
Oh, definitely. You know, even when my niece goes to her gymnastics classes, you know, there's a child there that doesn't want to follow the rules and follow, like, all the other kids. And the mom's, like, just lets their kid, like, run around. And it's like, no, teach them how to listen.
Yeah.
You paid for this class. Make them listen to the teacher.
Yes.
Drives me insane. Because then the other kids are like, oh, well, why is that kid getting to run around? Why do I have to stand here? You know, my niece is like, but they're doing, you know, he's running around.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard when you have a child that is more, what's the word? You know, they can't sit still.
Difficult.
And
antsy.
Antsy. And that's what a kid is supposed to be. That's a whole other topic here. I get it. I don't believe in kids being like soldiers at a young age, like, sit down, be quiet. You know, you can't do this. You can't do that. I don't agree with that. Kids, they're kids. They're supposed to run. They're supposed to be excited. But if you know your child is like that and you know your child is violent, because I've heard stories that this child is violent too, right? Hurting, biting kids, hitting kids or something.
Oh, no, that's a different kid.
Okay. Never
that's
mind.
A different one.
All right.
That's a different one in the class. Yes. The other one, this one that I was talking about, he just runs around. The other one hits kids and they're trying to deal with it.
Yeah. So what I was getting at was, if you know you have a child like that, I know you want to integrate them with other children and try to get them used to that setting. But if it does become where it's interrupting the class or it's interrupting the other kids or it's creating chaos in the class,
or an unsafe environment for other children,
then as the parent, you need to not be like, well, my kid is fine. He's, you know, and you need to take that your child out of that environment and try and find something that works better. You know, that I get it. Like, my nephew, he's wild. You can't bring him anywhere. He doesn't sit still. He's very rough. He's tough. Like, he beats up my little daughter. You know, he's a child. My sister said, I don't know what to do with him. He's going to preschool next year. How am I going to handle that? He's gonna cause chaos. So she's trying to get him into classes where he can kind of learn how to socialize with children. But again, then he's like that kid running around. He's like that kid pushing and hitting. So it's hard. So I get both sides of it. I see what she's struggling with, and she is a tough parent.
I know. I hear her.
Yeah, you hear her.
I've heard her yelling. I've seen her put him in timeout, and
It doesn't work. So that's why we can't always judge the parenting, because sometimes they are trying their hardest, but it's just the kid is more difficult, you know. And, like, my sister wants to put him in classes to teach him socialization, but she's embarrassed as to what you just saw. Is her child going to be that kid, you know?
Yeah.
So it's so tough. Like, we were just talking to Masha. Parenting is tough. It really is. The moral of our story, the basis of our story here is, don't be their friend. Guide them emotionally. Be supportive of them. But we have to guide them in the right direction to be strong individuals as they get older. that can handle pressure, that can handle stress, that can handle anxiety, and that can handle tough situations, because life and the world is not the nicest of places.
No.
And we need to prepare them now, because the parents are my generation who now have been raising teenagers, or the generation before me, these kids are not prepared for the real world and they can't handle it. You see it all the time on TV. They're breaking down. They're crying. They can't handle jobs. We need to fix that, you know, with our little ones now. We need to teach them how to handle things.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's our show for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure to check out our website, ShaunaandLala.com, and follow us on all social media platforms at Shauna and Lala. You could follow me at The Real Shauna May.
And you can follow me at Bella_Lala125.
We will see you next week.